Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
You know, it's, as I said before, I don't stand here without any nerves. If I was nervous or not nervous, I would be very, very concerned because I'd be doing things in my own strength where I need the Lord's help in all that I do. Now, the first, I'm going to do a reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, 12 to 25. It will be on the overhead. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty ways of the life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, though the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. You know, isn't it wonderful to have that assurance that the word of God endures forever? The way things in this world fall apart and disappear, and the morals of this country seem to go further and further away from God's word, it's nice to know that he is still the same. His word will endure. In my previous message, well, before we come to the message, let's just pray and just ask the Lord for his help. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word will endure forever. And Lord, we've come to hear from you this morning. So just take me and use me as your instrument, Lord. Speak through me. Take me out of it altogether, because we only need to hear from you. Lord, just clarify our minds and let us just think and meditate on your word and what you have to say to each one of us this morning, because you have something to say to each one of us. Some of us need a touch of faith, strengthening. Some of us need health, strengthening. Lord, whatever it is, we all need strengthening by your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to move amongst us. Have your way with us this morning. And we ask it all in and through the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. as I was going to say, in my previous message, it was entitled, Created in the Image of God. Now, following on from that message, I began to think, what a pity it was that God didn't add a little bit extra on there at that time and create us with the nature of his Son. You know, and that's why I've entitled today's message, The Importance of Obedience. Can you imagine how much easier it would be and how much better this world would be if only we possessed God's nature? Then everyone would have no difficulty in practicing an obedience in line with biblical teaching. You know, when we look into Scripture, if we look at 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, we read, But Samuel replied, Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. You know, it's a true fact. If everyone obeyed the rules, the letter of the law, especially biblical law, how much better would this world be? But unfortunately, that's not possible, since and only because of disobedience when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. And it was just that act of disobedience which causes all the pain. And we read in Romans 3:23, we cannot be blameless, because it tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So then, we have to deal with all the shortcomings of this world that we live in. You know, when we look at First John 2:16, he tells us there, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should be aware that although we live in the world, we are not of it. We are foreigners spiritually in this world. I know I'm a foreigner, but don't worry about that. It's important, though, that we are obedient to what Scripture has to tell us and to endeavor to encourage others to follow our lead. We don't have to rely on our own strength, which is a good thing, because we're not very strong people, really. But we can rely on the Lord's strength as long as we include him in everything. Again, turning to Scripture, if we look at Romans 1:5, we are told, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. You know, we need to remember, if we love the Lord, we have been commissioned to share our testimonies with others. As I've said before, sharing our testimony isn't just talking. It's through our actions, because people will be watching to see whether you do what you say and say what you do. Now, obedience sounds simple, doesn't it? Oh, it's just say yes, and that's it. You've been obedient. But we all know that it's very hard to be obedient, especially consistently. You know, we've just read from Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that just shows that we can't all be obedient all the time, because Scripture tells us that we can't. You know, for all the sin, from the moment we are born, It's as if we were programmed in disobedience. You know, and we learn from Paul in Romans 7 and 18 to 20. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me, that it is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Wow, that's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? You know? But we got there. Excuse me. I'm sure you'll agree that, as I do, I find that encouraging. And I take comfort from that fact that even the Apostle Paul was brave enough to admit that he found it impossible to be obedient consistently. So then, we don't need to beat ourselves up too much. You know, but we do need, when we do slip up, remember and recognize that we've slipped up and go to the Lord and seek his forgiveness for our slips, shall we say. The Apostle Paul, he found it impossible to be obedient. And if he can be forgiven, we can too. Scripture tells us all we've got to do is seek forgiveness. It's important to endeavor, though, to try and be consistently obedient if it's at all possible. It's not possible all the time, as we said, especially in the world that we live in. This world will be appraising our behavior and trying to pick holes, though, in our testimonies if we don't try to be obedient in all that we do. It's a fact that once we give our lives to the Lord, that we will be scrutinized by our neighbors, by those that we go to school with, those we work with, our friends, our relatives. Everyone will be looking and watching to see if there's a little trip or a slip, and they will jump on it. And, you know, that doesn't do the testimony or the Lord's work any good. So we've got to be careful in all that we do. We've got to, as the saying goes, practice what we preach. And hopefully we'll enjoy the experience that the Apostle Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, that's what we've got to endeavor to do, to remember that passage. From that scripture, it's clear just how important obedience is. And as I've already said, I acknowledge that it's not easy for most of us, because we prefer to be pushers and doers rather than followers. And obedience means following someone, doesn't it? You know, but if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then aren't we called followers? Haven't we got to follow him? I prefer the word being called a follower of Christ than being a Christian. Because Christian is used too loosely, I believe, in this world today. You go on and you see all these ones. He's a Christian. And it's a footballer or whatever. And it's because he runs onto the field and crosses himself before he goes onto the field. He's assumed to be a Christian. You know, but I prefer to be known as a follower of Christ. Because then I know what it is. And that's one of the things that I always ask people. Are you a follower of Christ? You know, if we are followers of Christ and we are obedient, then hopefully we'll be able to claim the accolade that we can read off here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing it with them and with everyone else. Wow. You know, there's nothing more rewarding or encouraging than being able and having the blessing of being able to point someone to the Lord and then watching them grow in their faith. You know, but it's important that young Christians are aware of all of the devil's tricks that will come into play once they have made that declaration. The Apostle John warns us in 2 John 1:6-9. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh has gone into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. I would suggest that warning applies not only to new believers, but to all of us here this morning. All of us who know the Lord, we should be aware that at present there are many deceivers in some of our churches even, who consider the Word of God not fit, not current, not a fit currency for today's society. You know, this would suggest to me that they think that God should change to suit them or their views. They forget, as we've already said, that God's Word endures forever and it will not change. And they only have to read Hebrews 13 verse 8, which states that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and tomorrow and forever. You know, he never changes. And that's one thing that we can all rely on. Someone who is dependable and unchanging. But rather than being disobedient to the Word of God, these people, they prefer to cherry pick Scripture to fit in and meet their own agendas. But they will have to answer to the Lord for their disobedience. So really, there's not a lot we can do about it but confront it when we get the chance. But really, it's the Lord's battle. And he will win it. Or he will have the say. At the end, they're going to have to answer for all their disobedience. Going back to the title of the message, The Importance of Obedience. Can you imagine the situation we would be in the world today if Jesus had not been obedient to the will of his Father and hadn't gone to the cross at Calvary and shed his blood so that you and I could come back into a relationship with the Father? It's also why Jesus, when the disciples asked him how they should pray, I believe the emphasis he put on the Lord's Prayer, which we've used this morning, the emphasis was, your will be done. Which says to me, obedience. You know, if you agree to that, you're being obedient to the Lord. And we know it. I'm not going to read it all, but do you want to go through it, the Lord's Prayer, again? Let's just do it now before we carry on. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, that spells obedience to me. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. And to come to Jesus, you've got to be obedient. You've got to accept the gift offered to you. If we move on to verse 15 of John 14, again we read, if you love me, keep my commands. Again, obedience. It's important for us to remember that as John 15:5 tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Wow. We're useless. And it's true. If you think back before you came to know the Lord, and you look back at what you were doing then, what was the point? You were useless, really. No good to anybody, man nor beast. Yeah. Why? The only righteousness that we can claim is because he went to the cross for each one of us and shed his blood. And it's only the covering of the blood of Jesus, which he gave freely in obedience to his Father's will. Because if you remember, he even prayed, if it's possible, take this cup away from me, but thy will be done. So he was obedient even unto death for you and for me, and for the rest of the world. And all they're asking, he's asking, is for them to accept them. Those of us that are honest will, as I said, recognize that discipline is one of the hardest things and the hardest part of being a disciple. Those of us who have children will know only too well how stubborn they can be from time to time and how disobedient they can be. But should it surprise us? Why should it surprise us when we have taught them everything that they know? They've learned it all from us. You know, so that's what our thing I'm saying. Try to be obedient as often as you can, because even your children are watching. And if you're not obedient to them, they're going to use the same tricks that you do. So it's like a two-way gate, as they say. In fact, it's a fact that we need to respect people in life generally, isn't it? Before we will be obedient to them. You know, if you don't respect someone and they're telling you to do something, you start questioning, oh, why should I? But if it's someone that you really respect, you're more likely to be obedient. I'm not saying you're definitely going to be obedient, but you're more likely to be obedient when you know that they can be trusted and they're worthy of your obedience. I can't speak for anyone else, but I know that there is one who can always be trusted. And he's the only one that's ever given his life for me. so that I could escape condemnation. And if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, He's done exactly the same for you. If only we will accept Him as our Lord and Savior. You know, I have chosen a beautiful old hymn written in 1887. You know, but I've just told you that the word of the Lord endures forever. And this song, or this hymn, is as relevant today as it was whenever John H. Samis, S-A-M-M-I-S, I looked it up in Google, wrote it, penned it. And it's trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now the trust is there, and if the trust is there, the obedience should follow. If you're listening to this message this morning, or when it's on the net, and you haven't as yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I recommend that now is the time to seek Him and to do it now, today, because we're only ever promised in Scripture strength for today and hope for tomorrow. But there is a saying that tomorrow never comes. And if you don't do it today, it might be too late. So, with that, I will close. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You loved us enough to send Your Son to pay the price on that cross for each one of us so that we could come in to fellowship and enjoy an inheritance in the kingdom with Your Son. And Lord, we thank You that You're always faithful and You're always there, ready at our beg and call, and ready to help us whenever we get down on our knees and seek You, Lord. And You're available 24/7, 365 days a year, and even on the leap year, Lord. You are always there and available. It's us who go missing at times. At times we can go AWOL. But Lord, You love us, and like a good shepherd, You round up Your sheep, and You even go over after the one who is lost. And we just thank You for all Your love and all Your kindness. And Lord, we pray that You will indeed instill in us an obedient nature and help us to grow more into the likeness of Your Son. We know on the day when He returns, or we are called up into glory to be with You, that we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will have the nature of Your Son, and obedience will be second nature then. There'll be nothing to hide. So Lord, we just thank You for that promise, and we ask You that You bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.